Hello, friends. Today's episode is brought to you by From Within Records. Strike Force Fanzine, Issue 2, available now, featuring 32 pages of exclusive interviews, reviews, and opinions. All orders will come with a free 11x17 poster while supplies last. November 12th, The Nature of Mortality record release, Choice to Make, Dead Heat, Worn, Never Again, Raw Life, Pain Clinic, and Temple of Mara. If you're not following From Within Records on social media, please boot up your Twitter, your Instagram, click that follow button to stay up to date on all current news. Like I always say, please support From Within Records because they support us. If you're looking for high quality merch for your band, for your business, please hit up my friends over at Good Fortune Printing out of Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. You can follow them on Instagram at Good Fortune Printing, or if you want to get in contact with them, please email them contact@goodfortuneprinting.com. Today we had to track down our good friend Caleb, plays in Choice to Make and Worn. He runs a skate shop in Scranton, Pennsylvania called Bazaar, which is awesome. I've been there before. I'm so proud of what Caleb and his friends are doing out there, supporting the scene, doing really cool shit. So if you're not familiar with Choice to Make, which you should be, if you're listening to this podcast, you should know who Choice to Make is. You should be very familiar. You should know about the new record. But if you're not familiar with Choice to Make or Worn or Bazaar Skate Shop, please do yourself a favor. Go seek those things out. They're awesome. I'm really happy that I was able to have Caleb back on. He's a good friend, takes care of me whenever I'm in town, so I greatly appreciate that. But please, go support everything that Caleb is involved with, because it's all great things. But please, strap in, enjoy this conversation. Without further ado, welcome Caleb to the show. Recording. Welcome back to the podcast, Caleb. How's it going?
Good. How's it going, Jamie?
It's going great. You know, I'm such a fan of your area, and I'm not shy to say that. So whenever I have anybody from your area on, it's always something special for me. So thank you for being down to do the podcast today.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for riding so hard for Scranton Wilkes-Barre. It means a lot.
Yeah, it's just it's crazy to me, because sometimes I still trip out and think back to those younger days when my old friend Andrew put me on a Cold World, and I was like, where's this band from? And that was like, yeah, the origins of hearing about your area. And then just, you know, through the weird journey of hardcore, being able to have some legit friends out there, it's awesome.
Oh my god, yeah. I mean, it's funny, growing up in this area, it was a weird transition of going from thinking that I grew up in a place where nothing cool existed to finding out that almost all of what would soon be my favorite bands came from the same place as me, you know, and Cold World was definitely one of the first for me too.
100%. And I've mentioned this before on the podcast, but anytime I'm in town, when I'm just, you know, kind of just looking around and thinking about how wild it is that it's, you know, the whole community outside of the music scene seems so oblivious to what's going on. But there's like this crazy rich history of just like so many good bands coming out of there. And even to this day, there's still great music coming out of there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, honestly, I kind of like it that way. You know, it's very unassuming. This area is, at a glance, nothing exciting. But then once you dig a little deeper, you find out all this crazy history and lore. And, you know, I mean, it seems like a place that gets boring real quick. But I never have a hard time finding something fun to do, which is nice.
100%. And obviously, I feel like when I'm out there, I'm looking at everything through a different lens because I'm on vacation.
Yeah.
I've talked to, you know, some locals and they're puzzled as to why I'm so fascinated by the area. But, all that's normal for the people that live there. But for me, like I said, someone who has just been a fan for so long to finally be able to, you know, step foot, in the area and get to hang out with, people who are, a part of creating that history and people who are, keeping the music scene alive today. It's just it's like such an honor for me to be able to do that.
Yeah. I mean, it's an honor for you to want to come out here and spend a weekend hanging out with us and everything. And yeah, I mean, I don't know. There is a weird feeling with this area where it's kind of a love-hate thing. It's very unassuming. But I don't know. I've been able to meet a lot of the people that inspired me artistically, musically, in so many different ways. And I've been very lucky. And also, one thing I am envious of, though, is I would love to be able to see this place from an outsider's perspective, because how you're saying, like, you come in for vacation and you're looking at it through that lens. Like, I would love to just see how this place looks for the first time, but yeah, I mean, it's a great anchor. I feel like anytime I'm on tour, I'm grateful to be seeing the world, but I'm also grateful to have a place that I can look forward to going home to.
100%. And I feel like, I feel like I'm like lucky just to be able to have someone like Nate to house me for the majority of my stays when I visited, for him to be so involved and to have such knowledge of the history, and for him to give me this crazy tour of where old venues used to be, and him just pointing out and telling me just crazy stuff about things that happened in the past, and then even being able to hang out with Shane and have him take me to spots where certain like title fight songs are like referencing. I'm like, oh shit, this is not this was not on my bucket list, but for you to do this for me, like, it's like, I'm such a huge fan of Title Fight. I'm like, wow, this is such an honor. Thank you so much.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, honestly, those guys are both some of the few local hardcore people that really dig into the history of the place. And I've always been like that with like music, with artists that I like, whatever, where I want to learn about it and know all the little like cool niche stories that made this area what it is. But Nate is a great person to take you around, because he definitely knows a lot of the spots and knows more stories than I do. I mean, a lot of people know more stories than I do, but Nate especially.
For sure. I just want to talk about my last trip to your area, which was nice. I still laugh at the fact that I thought it was possible to walk from the airport to Pancheros, which is not possible, because there's no sidewalks that lead to Pancheros. So I just opted to catch a lift from the airport to Pancheros. And I look at that trip because there was like hardcore stuff that we did, but I feel like a lot of things that I did that trip like didn't involve hardcore. Like, we went to like get candles and went to the movies and pinball. Oh, yeah. Just like a bunch of
Yeah, I didn't know if that was the last time you were in, or if I was thinking of something else. But yeah, no, I remember that. That was a fun weekend. And that's the cool thing too, because whenever a friend comes in from out of the area, we get to go out and do stuff that we like doing, but we don't really do all the time because life gets too busy. We're constantly running around and sticking to the routine. But you coming in gives us the opportunity to show people around and be like, a concierge of sorts, you know, like recommending places to eat, things to do, all that. But yeah, I think we saw the newest Halloween movie, right?
Yes, yeah, we went and watched that, and I was just, it was okay at best. I didn't walk away like, you know, super jazzed about it.
Dude, I don't mean to blow up your spot, but you fell asleep halfway through.
You know, I'm notorious for that because I get such a little sleep, which is probably going to lead to my dementia in the future. But any chance that I get comfortable and it's a dark spot, like yeah, I'm obviously my body's going to prioritize getting some rest over some okay Halloween movie.
Yeah, honestly, you really didn't miss too much. Actually, it's funny, too, because similar thing happened. Payload and No Uniform came through the area. And after the show, we all went to see, the Keanu Reeves movie, John Wick.
Okay.
The newest John Wick.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, literally, like, we all sat down, the movie started, and then we all woke up and looked at each other. And we're like, did we all just fall asleep through the whole thing?
That's but wild.
Yeah, I mean, I would just wake up for like 20 seconds or something, see people get massacred, and then just zonk right back out. But no, I mean, honestly, that's one of my favorite things when bands come to the area is like getting an opportunity to show off the non-hardcore related things that I love doing. Whether it be going, I think we went to the arcade that night too.
Yes.
And, like, played pinball and stuff, yeah. And then, like, you know, going hiking, adventuring, whatever it may be, you know, if people skate, there's a lot of great skate spots around and all that. So, I mean, that's one of my all-time favorite aspects of having bands come to this area, other than the show itself, you know. I mean, that's amazing, but I also just love hanging out with people I don't get to see all the time and showing off the area. I think we also went to the farm on the way to the show. Was that the same trip?
Yes, we got did we get ice cream or it was like, yeah. And I remember it's always funny to me because when we're out in like those rural areas, it's just like very white. And it's just like, I always get like weird looks because I'm just like this dark dude covered in tattoos, which probably isn't like the normal thing for people to see out there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it depends on the section you're in. It's a weird place. And I think that adds to the stuff area with having kind of a metropolitan area and then woods, rural areas, and like being so close to places like New York, Philly, Boston, Maryland, Baltimore, whatever, open to so many different perspectives in the area. And I think that's really cool, you know. I think that adds a lot to, you know, the lyrics or the music or just the taste people have, you know.
100%. And it's always fun for me just to get out of, you know, what is like my normal routine. Cause, like the things that I do, and like the places that I go is just like hella Asian people, which is fine. Those are my people. So, whenever I do anything right now I'm in Palm Springs and there's like a lack of Asian people. So it's just like, wow, this is like so different from what like my, like, you know, normal
get cut out there.
Yeah. What my normal routine is like. So it's always, you know, nice to, just to put yourself in a different environment and get to experience new things.
Oh yeah, definitely. But, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, like I said, I love it when you come into the area or any of our friends from out of town get to come in because I kind of get to see this place that I see every day through the perspective of someone who sees it maybe like once every, you know, year or once every couple years, whatever, you know. But I mean, it means a lot that you come through and support our area so much, you know.
Dude, I'm blown away by the support that I get from you guys. There was that one time where I kind of got like, you know, I was kind of floating around at different people's spots. And I remember Connor, shout out Connor. He let me stay in his like two bedroom apartment, and we barely even knew each other, but he trusted me enough to just stay in his two bedroom apartment and was just super nice about everything. Didn't make me feel weird, just made me feel super comfortable. And I was just like, wow, for him to be down to let this random dude from California that we'd only met one time before that, for him to just be so welcoming. I was like, this guy is awesome. This is so sick.
Oh my God. Yeah. Connor is a lifelong brother to me. I love that guy. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think one big thing with this area is it's a very tight-knit group of people. So if, like, one of our friends vouches for somebody, we take that seriously, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's anything specific to this area that makes that the case. I'm sure that it's like that in other scenes. But I think since it is such a small area, it creates that kind of tightness, that closeness between people. Sometimes it can cause some problems and like create friction, but I think more often than not, situations like that happen where, like, you know, if I messaged one of my friends and said my friend from out of the area is coming in, he's a great guy, like I vouch for him, you know, whoever I asked to put you or any of my other friends up, they'll respect that wholeheartedly, which means a lot, you know? So
100%.
It's like brotherhood, you know?
For sure. Okay. I'm curious about you right now, because obviously you do a lot for the scene, but even just outside in your personal life. But I wanted to ask about this zine that you do. Is it still active? Are you still working on it? I'm speaking about Saturday Kids.
Oh yeah. It kind of is active. It started pretty much right once the pandemic started. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of a common thing where the pandemic created a lot of chaos and a lot of negativity, but I think it also gave people the opportunity to lean into their passions a little more. And so I had just gotten back from tour. We were over in Europe and we almost didn't make it home. And it was like an extremely scary time. And like, when I was in Europe, I'm a bit of a space cadet. So I'm usually late to taking care of things that I should have taken care of a long time ago, my phone being one of them. So I didn't have service the entire 2 weeks that we were out there. So, you know, I didn't really get to see what was going on the way my other friends had. So we landed in New York and Ross, his dad, gave us a ride back from New York to home. And the whole ride home, he was just updating us on schools shutting down and like hospitals being overpacked and like all of this chaos. It seemed very, very bleak and very, I don't know, overwhelming. But I'm kind of getting off the topic. But yeah, so we got back and my job was closed for 2 months because it was just, it had to be because of the pandemic. So I was living at my parents' house at that time, just kind of trying to keep busy, trying to keep sane. I didn't get to see my friends nearly as often as I had before. And I was just really like kind of going through a weird time mentally. You know, so I needed something to bring a connection to the scene that I love and some positivity and just literally something to preoccupy my mind. And the last time I had made a zine before that was when I was in high school. I literally found a copy maybe 2 weeks ago, and it was the first time I'd seen it in years. And it looks like a bunch of high schoolers made it. But I just remember how much fun I had making that and how I would love to have that experience again. So I just reached out to some of my friends that I had met through music and got some interviews together and made the first issue. It sold well. You know, and I wasn't taking money or anything. It was all donation based because I just wanted something to keep myself busy. As long as I could like recoup the cost of printing it, I was happy. And then it did well enough that I was like thinking of ideas for next issues and people I could interview. And it's been a while since I made an issue just because it is a lot of work and life has kind of gone a different direction. But I did 5 issues and I just did a photo zine. I put Saturday Kids on the back of it because it was like a project of mine, just for like continuity's sake. But that was more so just like photographs I've collected over a while. I still have a bunch of those left if anyone's interested. But all the other ones, unfortunately, are gone, you know, bought up, which is nice. But yeah.
Yeah, I watched you put those Saturday Kids out and I was always impressed with the layouts that you would do because you had like those interactive versions, like, you know, like for the digital versions. And
I thought that
was really neat. But also just the interviews that you would do. I was like, okay, cool. He's asking some awesome questions because there's a lot of times where I'll read zines and stuff, and I'm just like, okay, it's just like the questions just don't really seem that deep. So I'm like, all right, this is fine.
Yeah.
But when I watch what you did, and I was like, okay, cool. Like Caleb is like actually like doing some good work here. This is awesome.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I mean, I've heard some horror stories from some of my friends that have been interviewed for zines. I couldn't even say the names of them. Neither would I want to. I'm not trying to put anyone down. But so from hearing those horror stories, I was just terrified of asking a wrong or bad or hopefully not insulting question, you know. So I would always like draft out a list of like 30 questions I would want to ask and then just send it to some of my friends, get their input, and then just nail it down to the top, probably like 20-ish, you know?
For sure.
But yeah, and then the layouts. My grandfather actually worked for the local newspaper and he was the person that did the page layouts. And he passed that kind of that skill on to my mom, and my mom showed me how to do that, you know. And also I'm very fascinated with like graffiti and stuff like that, and a big thing with graffiti is letters, spacing, all that kind of stuff, like formatting, you know. So it's fun, you know. It's like a puzzle almost, putting it together. And I was lucky, dude. I got to ask some of my favorite artists and musicians and skaters, you know, like whatever questions I wanted. And I was lucky. One of the biggest ones, there's this Philly based artist called JP Flexner. And for years I had been just like admiring his artwork. And it's one of those cool things with like punk culture where like I look up to this guy, I love his art, and I've been following what he's been doing for years. And I just reached out, I either email or Instagram, and he just got back to me and was like hyped that I wanted to interview him. So that was like a big one for me. I mean, literally all of the interviews I got to do, I was lucky to do. So, you know, I'd like to do another issue in the future, but I'm going to need a span of time where I'm not overwhelmed with shit to do, which is the case currently.
Okay, so the door is not fully closed on Saturday Kids.
No, I mean, I don't think it ever will be. Like, it's one of those things, like with the photo scene, like I wanted to put Saturday Kids on the back of it just because I wanted to keep that door open, but I didn't have the mental energy or time to actually make like a full fledged like interview filled, art filled, whatever zine, you know. So I was like, this is a passion project. It's a lot of photos that I've collected over the years, all like film photography. And, you know, it's a zine in essence. So I was like, it's not a Saturday Kids issue, but it's something I made and it's a book kind of thing. So it worked out like that. It's definitely not closed completely, but I could not tell you when the next issue is going to come out, if it ever will.
For sure. Well, I'll definitely keep my eyes, you know, peeled and, you know, keep a lookout for that if it ever does drop. Obviously, we're friends on social media and stuff, so I'm sure whenever it does, I'll hear about it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. No, for sure. Maybe you'll be in the next issue.
Oh, wow. You know, it's been a long time since somebody asked me to you know, be on their podcast or do an interview.
Yeah.
And I like that role. I always think back to this podcast that I did with two of the members of Stepping Stone, and they were like, they were the first ones to be like, hey, like, we want to like ask you questions. Like, thank you for having us on, but like, we want to ask you questions. And I thought it was really fun because that was the first time that had ever happened to me. And
yeah,
and I enjoyed that. So shout out to Stepping Stone. They're
if I'm remembering correctly, I think that was maybe like two or three episodes before the one I did with you. This was forever ago. Maybe I'm wrong, but
you might be right. But no, this was like early days. So yeah, because I remember.
I mean, our interview was 2018, maybe the last one.
Jeez, that was, I didn't realize it was that long.
Yeah, dude, a whole lifetime has kind of happened since, you know. A lot has changed, which is probably for the better, you know. I don't know.
Yeah,
in my life, I don't know.
Yeah,
but
yeah, 100%. But I want to move on to Bazaar, right? Which is such a cool name for a skate shop. Can you take me back to like the origins? Like, how did you, or when did you and your partner come up with the idea to even want to open up a skate shop?
Yeah, so it's actually just, I don't know, my, like I was saying, that period of time in my life was kind of chaotic, mentally, just life-wise, because I'd gone from touring constantly and not really being home much to being nowhere but home. And at first I was a little frustrated with it. I mean, at first I was relieved to be home and safe, but then I got really bored and bummed out that I wasn't really traveling or going to shows and stuff. And then, you know, I was trying to figure my shit out essentially. And I had made plans to move to Philly, and I was looking for apartments. I had a job lined up, and I was actually about to sign onto an apartment. But then I went to the grand opening of a fly fishing shop that our friends opened up. I'm not a fisherman, but the people that opened it are great. It's Dan Santoro. He's a tattoo artist. Incredible tattoo artist. And look him up if you want. But him and our friend Sean, who we all grew up skating with, you know, they got together. I forget the others' names. I've met them before, but they had the grand opening, and since it was like mutual friends of me and everyone I skate with and who are all now involved with the shop, we were all there, and we were just hanging out, drinking, having fun, partying, skating out front. And I like had a weird like thought just click in my head where it's like, this is what I'm thinking of leaving just for the sake of like not being bored anymore. And I mean, like, being bored in this area, I think, is something that you choose to do, because at any moment you can find something interesting. Like, people that complain about this area or talk shit on it, I mean, they have every right to, but, you know, some of my best friends in the whole world are here, and some of my favorite food spots are here. Even just like hiking spots, adventuring spots, theme parks, you know? So when we were all hanging out at the fly fish shop opening, I don't know, I just kind of made a decision that I wasn't ready to leave this area just yet. And that was kind of what was going on in my life. The other owner, Tom, had recently got a hip replacement, and he's not old. He's like, at that time he was 29. And I think the doctor said he was the youngest person that he had ever given a hip replacement to. And it was all skating related. So.
Okay. Okay.
And I mean, he could take maybe a little better care of himself. I don't know. That's, I'm just kidding.
You definitely read my mind, because I remember meeting him, and it's just like, I'm like, you know, kind of cycling through the images in my brain. I'm like, he's not that old. How old is this dude? That's so funny. Okay.
I mean, no, he's just a maniac on the skateboard. Like, he's, I mean, not as much anymore, but he was always very daring. And, you know, alcohol intake doesn't always help. And he got Lyme's disease, which I think also had an impact. I don't know. I'm spilling all his stuff out, sorry, but yeah, so he got a hip replacement, and he was pretty frustrated that he couldn't skate the way he had before, because, you know, after a surgery like that, you're a little more restricted, I guess. And we were all skating one day, this was right after that opening of the fly fish shop, we were all skating around Scranton. And we were just talking about, like, oh man, I wish there was a skate shop here, some place we could go that we could all just hang out and like build a community. And Tom was talking about how it would be amazing to have a place like that where he could still be a big part of the skating community, even though he can't skate the way he used to. And, at that time, we were skating pretty much every day because there was nothing else to do. Which, I mean, it's not a complaint. I loved that period of time where we were just skating every day. I think I might have been back at work at that point. But if not, I was making homemade pizza at my parents' house. And, like, it was a scary time, but also kind of a break from all of the routine and chaos that normal life brings. And then after just some thinking, I just texted Tom out of the blue, and I was like, why don't we actually do the skate shop thing? And then from there, I think we were both just trying to like call each other's bluff, because like he would be like, okay, like I'm going to the bank to talk to them about a loan, and I would be like, oh shit, he's serious, okay. And then I would be like, all right, I'm gonna do that too. And then he was like, all right, I'm going to start looking at like spaces. And I was like, all right, I'll join you. And it just kind of, the ball kept rolling and no one really stopped it. There was like maybe a point or two where we were hoping somebody would, just out of fear, you know, but it's been 2 years since we opened, and I'm so glad no one did try to stop that ball from rolling, you know.
And did either of you have any like experience running a business before Bazaar?
No. Pretty much that's the, yeah, just no. No, I will say, like, a lot of our friends had owned businesses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Matt Rand owned Redwood with a lot of the Title Fight guys. Dan Santoro,
mm-hmm.
Not only does he own the fly fishing shop, but years before that opened, he opened up American House with our other friend, Dan Nelson. And, you know, they were killing it. And then Dan Nelson left to start his own shop in like a slightly different area, still like around Lake Wall and Paul Pack, which that lake means nothing to an outsider, but it's kind of a landmark in this area. You know, so it's like everyone around us had the know-how, and also all those guys were rooting for us, and they were all like doing whatever they could to help out. And it meant the world to us, you know, like Matt Wren, even with not only Redwood, but like Dark Medicine. And like we had had the Hive, which I don't know if you would really call that a business. It was more like a community run venue thing. I don't know. But we had a lot of people on our side willing to help us. So, I mean, yeah, me and Tom, like, we took out the loans. We have our names on the paperwork. And kind of at this stage, we're basically, like, manning the ship ourselves. But it would be impossible if it weren't for, like, any of those people I named or any of our friends that helped paint the walls, put up the shelves, like, do all the things that we needed to get the door open. And, like, those people are all our best friends still. And it's another kind of beautiful thing about this area is people aren't really trying to attack what you're trying to do out of whatever it may be, like jealousy or competition or whatever. Everyone's just excited something cool is going to exist in the area, and they want to do anything they can to help that happen. Even with booking shows and stuff, like Matt has been insanely helpful. There's been like a show or two where Nate wasn't able to make it out, so he just Venmo'd me the entry fee just to like make a, you know, to help out. And it's like stuff like that goes a long way, because opening a skate shop is terrifying. Opening any business, I'd imagine, is really scary. But with all that support and all of our friends standing behind us, it kind of made it seem more possible, and we've been able to make it work this long. So
we're lucky. Yeah, that's such a beautiful thing. I love hearing you know, the endless support and the community just wanting to see everybody win. Because I've been in situations where it's just like, you know, your peers think you're in competition, but it's like, dude, there's like enough to go around. Like, we're not like in competition. We're not even doing the same thing. This is weird. Like, relax. So to hear that everybody just wants to see cool stuff succeed like out there, I think that's so awesome.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's not perfect out here. You're still going to run into assholes and people trying to shut you down just for the sake of like winning the strong arm contest or whatever, but I mean, the people that do back us completely. And you know, now that we're a little more established as a business and stuff like that, like I try to remember all those times that our old heads, you know, I mean, I feel like Matt or Nate or any of those guys would be bummed that I called them an old head, but like I remember the times they supported me and us, and I try to carry that on. Because even this past summer, we did a end of summer skate jam. We do it every year. It's in the back of a donut shop in Wilkes-Barre. Yes, just a big parking lot. Wait, what's that?
Can we put a pause on that? Because I'm building up towards that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And then also, I want to give a special shout out to Matt Wren, because he's an awesome dude. And I just love the fact that he always makes an effort to actually want to hang out whenever I'm in town. And and obviously, like, hearing the respect that so many people have for him behind the scenes, it's just awesome. So I'm happy to be able to call someone like Matt a friend. He's an awesome guy. So shout out Matt Wren.
Hell yeah. Yep. He's the best. I love that guy.
Okay. But I'm curious about Bizarre, because for me, I kind of get to see it from like a hardcore kid's perspective, right? Like I remember you bringing Bizarre merch to SWB, and I'm like, oh cool, he's like really integrating you know, the skate community and hardcore, which there's always been a crossover, so it's not that strange. But I'm always curious about like the other side of the fence, like for the actual like local skate community, like how do they view Bazaar? Are they stoked to have something like that? Because you know, last I checked, right, Bazaar is the only skate shop in Scranton.
Yeah, so we're pretty much the only skate shop in the region. I mean, there are a couple other shops in northeastern PA. There is this one shop, I think it's called Holy Stokes. It's about 45 minutes from here in a town called East Stroudsburg. And then I think that's it. You know, other than that, it's like Bethlehem is a halfway point between here and Philly. Mm-hmm. It's not northeastern PA, it's like central eastern, maybe. That's the nearest shop. And then our friend's shop, Holistic, that's in West Reading, which is, I think, 2.5 hours maybe from here. I'm bad at geography, so I'm not 100% sure on that. But yeah, I think that's a big reason why we got so much support, not only from our friends, but from other skate shops, from skate companies, like accounts that we needed were like excited to open an account with us, because they were like, we don't have an account with anyone other than Zoomies within mm-hmm. like an hour radius of you. And you know, that means a lot, and it's made a lot of things possible for us that isn't possible for every shop that opens up. You know, like sneaker accounts are pretty difficult to get as a skate shop. We were able to open with two accounts. We have, I think, three more now. We haven't ordered from them yet, but we like just got the accounts and we're insanely excited about it, you know, and we've gotten a lot of support. And I think it's because this area from an outside perspective seems pretty bleak, and you wouldn't even think that there is a skate scene to cater to. But now that there's a shop, it's like, we're kind of creating a destination, or at least I hope we are. For skating. And people have come in from other areas when they're like on road trips or something, and they were like, I just looked up like skate shop near me and you guys were the closest one, and I didn't expect there to be a skate shop in Scranton. And we're like excited to hear that, because it means like we're making an impact, I think, anyway. But yeah,
and is there a local skate park?
Yeah, so actually, Concrete Park just opened up in Wilkes-Barre. Now, the shop is in Scranton. That's about 25 minutes north of Wilkes-Barre.
Mm-hmm.
Or I think technically from the skate park to the shop, which I've done that drive 100 times, it's like 20 minutes exactly. But yeah, so that park just opened up, and then there's like a shitty prefab park in Scranton, meaning like plastic pre-built ramps. That's about 5 minutes from the shop. And after a couple years of the city just letting it go, it just got to a point where we decided to take it into our own hands. And a lot of like, the hardcore skating connection is really strong, because the ideas behind, you know, skating and the music and everything is similar. It's like that DIY, other people aren't taking care of this, so I'm just going to fucking do it myself kind of mentality, you know? So with that park, the city was letting it go. The cracks were getting insane. It was starting to just like look pathetic. So we, you know, went up there one day, filled all the cracks with concrete. That was like the first thing. Then there was some building that got torn down maybe like 5 minutes away. So there was just a pile of like parking blocks. We loaded up a truck with two of them, and then we rebarred them into the ground for like a little like curb, like a slappy curb. And then after that, we built a cinder block ledge, and then we just started getting like crazy about it. Like our eyes were bigger than our mouths, where we were just like going nuts building as much shit as we could do, you know? And the city kind of got bummed out when we really went crazy and started doing a lot of work. But, you know, we painted the back wall. We just tried to clean it up and make it a place that we could be proud of. So, like, the concrete park in Wilkes-Barre is very legit. It's professionally made. But I think the DIY park in Scranton is, it's a community thing. You know, it's a, I mean, we're friends with some of the people that built the park in Wilkes-Barre, but, you know, the park in Jackson Street was just us taking it into our own hands and saying, like, fuck it, you know?
And at any point is the city like, hey, like, we see your efforts, like, let us, you know, pour some money back into the park?
No, not yet. I mean, so the new parks guy is nice. You know, we had some conversations with him. Tom did more than I have. But we kind of got a slap on the wrist for building with concrete. Because I guess, I mean, obviously, it's like a permit needed thing.
Yeah.
Not that we gave a shit about that. But so we got like a slap on the wrist. But the dude was like, I get it, though. Like, this park isn't even on the list of parks to keep up on or take care of. He was like, the city wants it to go to shit so that they can sell the land for an apartment building or something. He was like, so it means a lot that you guys are trying to build it up and make it something. And he was like, it's going to take a while because, you know, bureaucratic city stuff. But he was like, we're going to try to get you guys a professionally built park and like put money into the one you guys have been working on. So I mean, none of that has come to fruition, but at least it's a known issue in the area. It's a need that we have that Scranton at least is aware of now.
Yeah, and you guys are making some noise, getting on the radar.
We're trying to. I mean, I don't know. Before that, the kind of noise we would be making is just getting kicked out of spots, you know, and maybe like arguing back with the cops that were kicking us out or whatever. But I mean, you know, that only goes so far. At that point, we just look like a nuisance. But with an actual business, it's weird because we have to have conversations with people that we otherwise would never have conversations with. But it's for the best because it's like we need shit to happen and this is the only way to do it, I think. And we're also like, yeah, shitheads. Like, we are kind of destructive sometimes and like skate, break stuff and all those cliches. But at the end of the day, like, we're respectful people that just want a place of our own in this area. And I mean, even the same goes with hardcore, you know. It's like venue after venue gets shut down. Like, the Hive got closed down, Carl Hall got closed down, and it's at the point where it's like, you know, like, we had a show in the skate shop last night. Took some convincing on my end because I'm the like music inclined one. Tom isn't as much.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was saying I wanted like actual full instrument bands to play here, he wasn't excited at first, but everything went smoothly enough, thankfully. But yeah, I mean, we had a show here. Like, we've had shows in our homies' like garage and his basement. We've been just like kind of renegating it and just like finding any place we could possibly have bands set up and play. And to be honest, I think that's bringing life into the scene. Because I think if it becomes too easy, people don't want to put in as much effort. I guess it was getting to a point where, you know, it was convenient enough that it's like, am I in the mood to do this? But now it's like we want this area to have a scene. We don't want it to die out. And if we have to put in that extra effort, be creative and find insane places to have bands play, like, we'll fucking do it. And I think that means a lot, you know. And it's like, one of my best friends, Kate, her mom's boyfriend has a cornhole spot. I don't know how else to describe it. It's just a big room.
Wait, is this Doug's boardroom?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. See, I was always under the assumption that this was just like a random place that you could rent out. I didn't realize there was like a connection to anybody there.
Yeah. So that's pretty much the connection right there is, you know, Kate's mom's boyfriend opened that place up and, you know, we were going there for like work parties or whatever. And like you pay $15 at the door and you just play cornhole all night. But at the end of the day, it's just a huge room, you know? I mean, it's a cool looking huge room, but if you just move all those boards out there, which takes probably like 20 minutes to do, you just have a big room, and that's literally ideal for a venue. It's kind of out of the way, and it's a spot for bigger shows, but I mean, Strength for Reason just played there with Dimension 6, and who all played that show? I have the flyer somewhere. Wreckage was supposed to play. Deal with God played, and All for All played, and Prime Suspect played. That band is incredible. And then a local band, Scolari Brothers, opened. But yeah, and then Turnover is going to be playing there next month. Kate set that up. That's incredible. Choice to Make Record Release is going to be there. You know, so it's like, it took a little bit of creativity and open-mindedness to find spots to have shows. But like, we've been doing it, you know? And I think it was bleak January last year when the last solid venue, Carl Hall, closed down.
Mm-hmm.
But to be honest, I mean, like, maybe I'm being too, I don't know, maybe I'll hold my tongue, but I don't know. There was a moment where I thought after that place closed, I was like, maybe it's what this area needed to like kind of breathe a new life into the area, make a change, you know? And I don't know, it was feeling stagnant for a while. I mean, TK was carrying that shit on his shoulders with Nate, you know, like they were doing it, just the two of them like running shit. And that was awesome. But I'm excited to see what's going on now where, you know, like they're booking shows. I've been booking more shows. My friend Nate has been booking shows. He doesn't even live in this area. He lives in, I think, Gettysburg. I don't know. He lives like an hour away, I think. And he books shows in this area because that's the closest place for him to see bands. He booked Standstill. We've been doing the shows in the fucking donut shop parking lot. And, you know, it's like, I feel like there is a new breath of life coming through this area. I think it's in the very early stages of that. But I'm excited to see what comes of it.
Yeah, I'm really curious. And how did that show go over, the one in the shop with Prize Horse?
It was good. There was an incident out front. Somebody had a seizure, but I guess it's like a chronic condition. So she was fine. Mm-hmm. And everything worked out good. I think there was just a moment of like, oh my God, I hope this person's okay. Like, it was just scary to see. But yeah. I mean, you know, she's fine. And the band's played incredibly. No one called the cops, you know, over noise.
Yeah. Aren't there apartments above you guys, or are those like vacant?
There are. I'm in the shop currently, so I'm going to say it a little quietly. But the upstairs neighbors are fucking assholes. I mean, if it's the same people,
That's crazy. That you're, you, you managed to pull a show off and there's people that live upstairs. That's insane.
Yeah, I mean, we knew what we were kind of getting ourselves into, so we kept that in mind when running the show, mm-hmm. and we were able to just like have it go 3 hours. Like, first band started at 6:30, last band finished at 9:30.
Okay.
You know, so it worked out perfect where like it was early enough to end the show that if people were starting to get mad, they would be like, all right, well, at least it's 9:30 and I can get to sleep at a reasonable time and I don't have to worry about loud music. But yeah, I mean, no major issues other than that girl, but she's, I don't know, she's fine, you know, and her friends were glad that she got to be at the show and like everyone had a great time. The bands had an amazing time. I don't know. Like, I don't know if we'll do it again soon. I doubt it. I think it's going to be a very seldom thing, but you know, it, something at the end of the day, I'm glad we tried mm-hmm. out. But I think we're going to keep booking at other spots. That was kind of a last ditch effort spot because, my, friend Jared has a house that we've had a couple shows at and he would usually say yes, it's just Monday nights don't work for him. So when I asked him about that date and he said he wasn't able to make it work, that's when I like went to Tom and like begged him to let it happen, you know. And he was glad it did too. He had fun. He was like, this definitely won't happen all the time, but that was cool. So
what about,
you know, for the best,
the Spacement wasn't available Monday night.
So at the time when I was asked to book that show, it didn't even occur to me, but also I don't know if it is. I think Utopia, which is the store that's above, it's like connected. Mm-hmm. Bob Mack owns both, but I think it's closed on Mondays. I'm not sure.
And
I probably will reach out to him next time.
Yeah,
but I'm glad we got to do it because I mean, even some of the accounts that we have and like the homies that sell us shit, like products, you know, the one dude, there's this new skate company called Jacuzzi that just started up and it's like a, it's a cool company. The owner, when we posted the flyer, messaged us and he was like, you're going to have Prize Horse play in your skate shop. He was like, that's my favorite band. And we were like, hell yeah. And he just emailed us today, just asking about the show and asking how it went, that he wishes he could have been here, but he's in LA. So it would have been a crazy move to fly out for a 4-band show on a Monday night. But
yeah, that's wild.
Yeah, it worked out though.
Okay. Well,
it felt very punk, you know, having like a DIY show in a skate shop, hoping that no one calls the cops.
I want to circle back to the skate jam that you had mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
I remember seeing videos of the first one, and the number one question I had was like, how did this not get shut down? Like that, just the amount of people and like the loud music. How did you guys pull that off without disturbing the community?
So, I mean, one of the beautiful things about that spot is it's kind of in the middle of nowhere. I mean, it's right outside of downtown Wilkes-Barre, but it's just kind of tucked in a corner where right behind it are train tracks. You're kind of under a bridge. There's nothing really around other than businesses and a school that's not open on weekends anyway or during the summer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's usually not an issue. The owner of the donut shop, her son is just like a punk kid. I don't know. Like it's one of those cool situations where it's like just a community thing. Our friend George Rittenhouse, he his mom owns the donut shop, and like he's excited to help, you know, like it's not even a question of I hope they're down for us to have the skate jam. It's just like a question of like how hyped they're gonna be when we like bring it up. And they're that same way anytime someone books a show there. My friend Nate that I was talking about earlier, not Nate Prosciutti, but my friend Nate from like Gettysburg area. He booked Stand Still in the Curry Donuts parking lot at the beginning of the summer. And that show went great. And also, it's kind of funny because that area is, like I was saying earlier, it's like a weird mix of metropolitan and like bumblefuck nowhere kind of place. So there's just chaos between just random people walking in from off like the square to see what the fuck's going on, and then like kids on dirt bikes and shit riding down the train tracks, and like, you know, it just creates this chaotic energy that as long as it doesn't get too out of hand is really fun. And I the first year that we did the skate jam and it played, and they were talking about how fucking insane Wilkes-Barre seems to be. I don't know if it was meant to be in a good way or a bad way, but it was funny to hear because, I mean, you see dudes riding around on quads and just like random normies coming in from off like the square, just like watching what's going on, and everyone's just excited. It's one of those cool things about like a small town that has culture is people are just interested. Even last night when the show was happening, I was standing outside at a point and there were like three or four just random people walking down the street, and they stopped and were looking in the window, and they were like, I haven't seen a live band in years. And I was like, dude, if you want to go in, like, don't even worry about the $10. Just go in and see the bands. And they were just so excited because, you know, it's an area where you can forget cool stuff happens. I don't know. I'm kind of rambling, I think. But yeah.
No, it's awesome. I'm so fascinated by it. And obviously the first one was successful and a good time. You guys did it again this year. Can you talk about what it was like to do it again?
Yeah. I mean, it was, it's always stressful to do it just because it's like an outside event, which is insanely stressful in its own right, because rescheduling something like that is so overwhelming and probably not even possible, because like with the end of summer skate jam, like me and my friends put a lot of work into getting bands that we love that we don't get to see in this area all the time play here. And it's one of those things where bands that we really want to see are bands that a lot of people want to see, so their availability is sparse. So it's like if there is a rain day or like a rain delay, we're fucked, I guess, until we figure out some kind of plan. Like I always like know on a whim, like if my back's up against the wall, like we'll think of some stupid, insane solution. But thankfully we haven't had to do that yet. but yeah, I mean, it went great. We were lucky. We built a stage this year with, it was like a pallet stage, but it was great. You know, we built a bunch of different ramps. We had a lot more hands on deck for building, which was awesome. And every year we just kind of look at what we did. It's the only the second year, but every year we do it, we look at the things that worked and the stuff that didn't work, and then we just try to work out the kinks, and then every year hopefully make it better than the year before. And everyone had fun, and it felt like a church bazaar, which is kind of the whole vibe that we're trying to give off with the shop. That's why it's called that. Because it's a very like regional thing. I mean, I know like community events happen everywhere, but I think church bazaars are very specific to this area where, you know, like it's something that we all grew up doing over the summer, like just going to a church picnic or church bazaar with our friends and like, you know, like just playing games and fucking around and trying to steal beers from the tent and playing like the gambling wheel and stuff. Like it's, I don't know, it's just like a very nostalgic thing. And it's like the end of summer skate jam is our opportunity to create our own version of that in a way. And I think we were pretty successful with it, especially last year. And hopefully we'll be even more successful with that next year. Happy Tattoo, Pete and Chris, they were there tattooing and they killed it all day. They were booked up.
Which That's was crazy. Awesome. I didn't know they did that. That's wild.
Yeah, that was like one of those ideas that sounded crazy at first, but we were like, why not? And then it worked out great, you know. All the bands fucking killed it. We were lucky to have like some amazing bands play. Scarab is arguably the best hardcore band to come up in this area in years. I don't know. They're one of those bands where we knew before the demo dropped that it was gonna be something insane. And then once it dropped, our expectations were like exceeded when we heard it, you know, like me, Matt, of all of our friends in the area, you know? So them playing was huge. There was like a point during their set where I ran up onto the bridge and like got like a video and it just looked like chaos from up there and it felt great. But yeah, Dead Last played, Wild Red opened, Fool's Game headlined. You know, like the lineup was just, any year that I do it, I just think of the bands that I want to see and that like my friends want to see, and then we just ask them and we just keep asking bands we love until like one says yes, and then we build up a lineup that way. Mm-hmm. Like we'll have like a set idea and then we'll just narrow it down by just like asking all of the people who play in bands that we love. So we're always lucky. Well, once again, it's only been 2 years, but 2 years in a row, we've been very lucky.
Yes. I'm hoping you do a third one. And that's my return to Wilkes-Barre for the skate jam, you know, for the third year of the skate jam. Cause that's something that I've always wanted to do because I've always gone in October. And I always experience it when it's cold, which is nice. I don't mind the cold, but I always I always wanted to go back when it's warm. I get to see it in a different light.
Yeah, no, definitely. Honestly, now I'm not just saying this because like I'm a part of it, but that is I feel like that jam is such a good representation of the local area because a lot of the people that come out aren't only just like our friends that are into hardcore and skating, but it's just like people from this area that don't really go out all the time, but they're just like excited for that event of the summer. So like a lot of people that haven't gone to shows in years, but they just are excited for that roll through. And it's like very, very community driven. Like it's a good representation of this area, I think. Yeah. I don't know.
No, it's cool. Like I watched the videos from this year's skate jam that Jeff filmed and it looks insane. It looks so much fun.
Dude, yeah. And that's like the best part is like I don't know. At the end of the day, like even though it's a lot of fucking work between building and organizing and doing all that, it's every part of it is pretty fun. There's definitely like some parts that get real frustrating, but it's at the end of the day so much fun. And like so many people help support my job. I work at the screen printing company in the area, not Good Fortune, but another one.
Yeah, I'm familiar. Good Fortune,
Oh yeah, Axelrad. Yeah. So like they donate to it, Good Fortune donates to it. Like Jeff helped out so much and donated, and like all of these local businesses and companies and people that we're just friends with, like, want something cool to happen, so they do whatever they can to make it work. And it, like I said, just with the skate shop opening in its own way, like the skate jam every year is a group effort of all of our friends, you know. Like Matt has helped me so much with like booking shows now that I'm starting to do that a little more often. Even down to like, I'll just be like, what's the ideal amount to pay like each band, or like what time should like this band go on, what should like the set orders be. Like I ask the most fucking dumb questions and he's always happy to help, so that's great. And like Jeff films every year and like just helps us out financially too, and like just makes it possible. Nate, like the list goes on, and I could write down a list of everyone that's helped us and everyone that shows up and supports, and like that list would be insanely long because there's a lot of people that just want cool stuff to happen in Scranton Wilkes-Barre.
That's amazing. That's cool that you have that kind of support. And also, can you talk about you kind of moving into that role, into booking more shows? Because I have heard that behind the scenes that you've been you're doing a lot when it comes to bringing shows to the area.
I'm starting to try to take that on a little more. I'm trying to think of, I've always kind of popped in and out, just like doing a little thing here or there, but usually I would just attend or play shows. Cause you know, like I said, like Nate, Matt, TK, like they were all booking shows constantly that I just didn't really like think to do it. And also when I was touring a lot, it was extra difficult, but it kind of works out now where sometimes a band will be coming through and they just need a place to stay, and I have an apartment where I can accommodate, and they'll crash with me, and then every once in a while someone will hit me up asking me to book a show for them, and I just want to help. And sometimes, I mean, with the skate jam, that's something that we do for ourselves. But I mean, anytime someone asks if I can book their band, I try my best to make it happen, just because this area, especially right now, just needs shows. So it's like, I don't want to turn anyone down because I want stuff to happen here. And you know, I mean, we're all living our lives, we're all like full-time working adults, so it's like I think the roles have split up a little more, whereas Nate, TK, Matt, they all have a lot on their plate in normal life. So I like to think that it helps that I can step in and book a show if need be. Like I am capable of doing it if it has to happen, and hopefully I'll get to a point where I could seek out bands aside from the skate jam, and like instead of helping a homie out, like I could just start asking bands that I want to see and just book a show on a whim, you know. That would be great. Hopefully that becomes a possibility soon. But I'm not in any rush. My plate is also pretty full right now. So I don't know. That's about it.
Yeah. Well, I think it's awesome, and it's cool because, there's so many good bands, so many good scenes, you know, near you guys. So it's not that far of a drive to get to Wilkes-Barre or anywhere near the area.
Oh yeah. I mean, I do that drive almost daily. You know, with the shop being in Scranton, I live in Kingston. I work in Wilkes-Barre. So it's like I'm constantly driving back and forth. But even though I-81 is a hell pit, I still don't mind. I love both areas pretty equally, I think. And I also hate both areas pretty equally. I could go on a rant for a decent while about the things that piss me off about this area, but I think no matter where I live, that'll be the case, you know?
Yeah, no, I get it. You know, we'll settle somewhere and it'll be nice, but then you start to realize the things you hate about it. But, you know, I feel like that's with everywhere you go.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to sound super pompous, but like there's a Ram Dass quote that I heard when I was thinking about moving to Philly, and I was like very unsure of what I wanted to do because I didn't want to leave my friends and stuff. And it was, if you're miserable in New York, you'll be miserable in Chicago. If you're at the last straw in LA, you'll be in the same position in DC. You know, it doesn't matter where your location is, it's where your head's at. And that kind of meant a lot to me because I think part of me wanting to move out of this area was like, kind of like, fuck this place that I'm getting bored with. Let's go somewhere where things are already happening instead of thinking like, let's make things happen here. And also, you know, I mean, like, there's a lot of mental work that I had to do on myself. So I think the decision to stay here and the decision to open the shop and all those things kind of forced me to make decisions and do stuff that I've been needing to do for a long time.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that quote, because when I was younger, I swore up and down that once I got out of my hometown and moved to Orange County, life was going to be a million times better. I was going to meet all these new amazing people. But after a very short period of time living in Orange County, I kind of had this realization that all that was just some weird thing that I made up in my head, and it wasn't true, because I've probably met some of like, you know, obviously, like, I have great friends that I've met since I lived in Orange County, but I've also met some of like the worst people living out in Orange County. So like, I always tell myself, I'm like, I didn't have to move away to be happy. I could have been completely happy staying where I grew up, but it was just I was just younger and just made this thing up in my head and kind of gave into it. So yeah, I completely understand that quote, and it's cool to hear that you know, you ended up staying and made it work, and now you're doing a lot of cool stuff and being able to give back to your community. I think it's really awesome to hear.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate that. There are definitely days where I think about what if, you know, but I mean, I think if I had made another decision, I would have been missing out on a lot. But I mean, it's like, you know, problems with like dating, money, rent, work, whatever, like all those problems are going to exist even more so in other places. You know, like if I moved to Philly, my being broke and having issues with like rent and living situations or whatever, like, you know, it's going to exist almost more so there. Mm-hmm. And then all the other things I'm not even going to get into, but, but yeah, I mean, it's like one of those things where I grew up here. I've gone through the process of hating it, loving it, everything in between. And like, at the end of the day, I don't think I would have been able to get the opportunities that I've gotten if it wasn't for this area. Because I mean, between like Title Fight, Cold World, Menzingers, Tiger's Jaw, Captain We're Sinking, all the bands that I grew up loving, I got to, they're my friends now, you know, and I'm lucky that I can fucking spend Memorial Day hanging out in my best friend's backyard, like playing some weird backyard games with like Shane or Brianna or like having a bonfire with like people that I look up to and like people that I respect, but also like hanging out with, you know. And I mean, also touring, like I got into bands because of where I grew up. I don't know if I lived or if I grew up in like, I don't know, Delaware or something. I mean, that was not a diss to Delaware. I just thought of the first place that came to my brain. But I mean, like, you know, I got to tour the country multiple times, the world once, mm-hmm. Hopefully again soon. And, you know, I've gotten to see a lot of cool shit because of this area. So I can talk shit all day. I won't tonight, but at the end of the day, I'm very lucky. And also I look, you know, I have a good family and I had a pretty basic, pretty middle of the road, like working class upbringing. But I mean, it was still one that I am grateful to have had because I have a great family and a support system. And it's cool too, because like the shop exists. And now I see like my best friend Kate opening up her own store in Kingston area called Shop Sunny. And like that was a little ad right there, but she's doing that, and that's so cool to see. And it's like young kids, after we did our skate jam, wanted to do one that was like a similar format, and like I'm sure they would have done it regardless, but like it was cool seeing that we did something that like younger kids are trying to do themselves, and they did it, and like I'm hyped for them. So it's starting to look up. It was bleak for a little bit, but it's starting to feel good in this area, in the music scene, skate scene, all that.
Okay, a couple things before I let you go. Condensing Flesh has been out for about 2 months at this point. Can you talk about what it means to you?
Yeah, we had written that EP over, I want to say like a year period. Butch killed it with a lot of the riffs, all of the riffs. I mean, not all the riffs. Pete definitely contributed a lot. Like everyone contributed pretty equally to that record. And, you know, it felt good. Every song we wrote, I was extremely happy about. And around the recording time, I was like in an aggravated position. So it was nice to be able to put that negative energy into something productive. And I don't know, those songs mean that to me, you know, there was an outlet. And also, I'm just proud of the songs we wrote. I'm happy that it came out. Also, 2023 has been an amazing year for music, so I'm grateful that I got to be a part of that. I mean, I'm not saying my music's great, that y'all could be the judge of that, but I'm just grateful that it came out in a year where like some of my favorite records of the past 10 years came out, you know? So that was cool too. And yeah, I'm excited for the record release show, TBA. And yeah.
And why is it TBA? Because like I said, the record's been out for about 2 months at this point.
Yeah, Dan is, Dan's kind of booking that, putting it together. Mm-hmm. It's going to be in Philly. And I'm usually the last one to know about anything, not because of anyone's fault, but my own. I just am very scatterbrained a lot of the time. So usually last minute, someone tells me where to show up and I do.
Okay. And you're now playing in A Choice to Make, correct?
Yeah. I mean, I was one of the people that started in that band. And then I took a little break once the shop opened up because I'd just been so stretched thin.
Mm-hmm.
The shop is a lot more manageable now that we're a little more established. But at that time, it was very overwhelming. So I kind of had to dial back from a lot of the stuff that I loved, but just couldn't handle. But now that things are more manageable, there was like a show or two where Nate asked if I wanted to play guitar for the show. And I was like, yeah, I can do that now again. Thank God. And now we're just doing it regularly. And I think we also have like a pretty dialed in lineup, which is great. There was like a period, I think, where it was whoever could make it work would show up and play, which, you know, props to all of our friends for being a part of that. I mean, Jonah's even recorded drums on, I want to say, the promo tape. But I mean, all that's great, but Dan White playing drums, like, he's such a good drummer, and it's awesome to have him there. And like, Mike Siminski is a great guitarist and has been in so many cool bands in this area. TK, me and Nate have, Nate's the father of Choice to Make. Like, he is the guy who texted everybody saying, I have 5 songs written, I'm gonna record a demo, do you guys want to be in the band, you know? So like, it just feels good when we play shows now. It feels dialed. We're all dedicated to making sure the set sounds good, and we all also have fun hanging out with each other. So like, all of the things necessary to make being in a band worth it are there. You know, it's in hardcore, money is usually bottom of the list of reasons to be in a band, or things possible for being in a band. So it's like, if I'm not making money, the main reason I'm doing it is because I love it and it's fun. And if I'm not having fun and loving it, then I don't want to dedicate my time to that. So I mean, you know, it's been a lot of fun, and we just played Bonks pretty recently, and that show is sick. It's so much fun. Ben Stuckey booked that one. That was great. And the record release is going to be a lot of fun, and the skate jam was so much fun. So it's been a great experience doing that again, and it feels good to be back.
All right, Caleb. Well, I'm happy to hear that you're doing good. You're involved in a lot of awesome things, and it's just very awesome to be able to catch up with you. But before we sign off, is there anything else you would like to say?
There's nothing really that I can think of offhand. I mean, shout out to Shop Sunny when that place opens. That's going to be amazing. Shout out Housefly. Shout out Good Fortune. Feet First, you know, all my friends. I don't know. I would think of something funny to say, but I'm pretty beat. I work 10 hours and I'm ready for bed.
All right.
So that's about it. I miss you, bro. You got to come out again soon.
I'm dying to get out there. Trust me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you have a place to crash if you need it. So
I appreciate that.
Also, not calling anyone out. More bands need to come fucking play Wilkes-Barre. So
yes,
play. I don't care if I book the show or if like whoever books the show. Like, it doesn't matter. More bands should be coming back to Wilkes-Barre because there's a hunger for it in this area again, and kids are coming out that I don't even recognize. Which, you know, after going to shows for so long in this area means something, I think. Yeah. So yeah, that's about it.
All right. Well, I appreciate your time. It means a lot to me. Thank you for taking the time to do this. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We'll be back soon. Goodbye.